Hey everyone, it's been a 007 back, but not for a 10-minute movie review. Today, in a break from normal programming, I am going to talk to you about a new TV series called Mary and George. And for those of you listening in the UK, you can already binge watch the entirety of this show. It's on Sky. And for those of you in the US, I think it's releasing on April 5th on Stars. So Mary and George is a sumptuously produced costume drama set in Jacobin England. So this is the early 1600s. And it tells the tale of Mary and George Villiers. And it's a really phenomenal story. Mary Villiers was born just a serving woman. She managed to attract the attention of her first husband, who was a minor aristocrat. And not only did he marry her, but he faked her own aristocratic lineage. She then has a number of children, her husband dies, and she's left without money. So she marries a kind of country booby who gives her a position and manages to let her children complete their education. Prime among these is handsome George, who Mary realizes is just the kind of handsome young fellow that the quote-unquote cockstruck King James I of England will go for, because while King James I is apparently happily married to Queen Anne of Denmark and has had many children, he is known for always having handsome young men around him and for lavishing his favourites with titles and money and wealth. So for those of you who have watched The Other Boleyn Girl, this is kind of the same concept, an ambitious family, in this case a mother, pushing forward a juicy morsel, their own child, in front of a monarch in order to get titles and wealth. And it's kind of fascinating, I think, because the story of Mary Villiers is one of a woman who is incredibly intelligent, ruthless, strategic, and does set her family up. I mean, they end up as the Dukes of Buckingham. So she achieves what she sets out to achieve. She is buried to this day in Westminster Abbey, despite being a person of low birth. But the interaction between her and George is also fascinating, because he is maybe a little bit like Anne Boleyn, up for it. You know, when we first meet him, he's, you know, a fragile young boy, but he soon learns his talent and taste for, you know, the strategic life and for power. There's a lot to love about this new drama. It's written by D.C. Moore, based on a work of history by Benjamin Woolley. And actually, it feels to me, as much as I know about this period, that the sort of the backbone of the story and the key historical events are actually based in truth. I think the big leap of faith here is that we are showing King James I to be actively homosexual. I think when you read a lot of the letters in the history, he was certainly homosocial. It's very well known that he had his favourites and wrote love letters. I don't think it's ever truly been proven that he's bi or homosexual. I'm not sure how far you can, in the sense of how are you going to really know what happens behind closed doors. But in this series, we are definitely in the presence of a king who is very sex positive. You know, he's clearly managed to sire many children with his wife, and he loves having sex with boys. And, you know, it's a wild court. It's a court very different to that of Queen Elizabeth I. It's a court of indulgence and fun and a kind of a sexual openness that I think will be very attractive to modern audiences. Everything about how this production looks is gorgeous. The costumes, the food, the musical instruments. I mean, life at court does indeed feel attractive and seductive. And it has to be a seductive show. The cast is, however, where it excels. We have the iconic, stunning Julianne Moore as Mary Villiers, recently seen in May December, also as a very ambiguous, morally kind of sticky character. And here, she is just masterful, especially, I think, in the first few episodes, where we see her brutally, bluntly confront the fact that she now has no money, she has to marry, the transactional nature of life. She knows she's attractive, this is something she can sell, and she's a woman on a mission, and just seeing her scheme is just absolutely fascinating and wonderful. She is not, however, a feminist. She happily sacrifices a young girl who's a rich heiress to her mentally ill and violent younger son. But even though we see her do very dark things, we cannot help but admire her resilience, her resourcefulness in a world where, you know, women like that did not have many avenues for power, and just never mind power, but just controlling their own lives, you know, having agency over their own future. And I think it's real testament to Nicola Galitzine, who many of you will have seen in the frothy Amazon rom-com Red, White and Royal Blue, that he really matches Julianne Moore beat for beat. I think he's incredibly compelling in this drama. And he has arguably a greater arc to play than Julianne Moore does with her character. When we first meet him, George is young. He's a young teenager. He's incredibly mentally fragile. He feels like he's drifting through life, very melancholy. And as we see the series develop, he does enjoy and become very good at exercising power. We actually see him tactically go against his mother at one point, and, you know, they both have to keep the pleasure of the king at heart. But it's a very complex role, and I think he does incredibly well in it. So he's obviously very pretty, but I think he's also an actor to watch. And I hope he continues to pick these sorts of roles, because I think they show a greater variety of what he can do. I also really admired Tony Curran, who plays the king. It's kind of interesting because when we first meet him, he does seem like this sort of rather pathetic, to use the word again, cockstruck dilettante, just doesn't really take ruling very seriously, hasn't called parliament for 6 years. He's always off hunting and basically having sex. And as the show goes on, as James I ages, we see a more vulnerable side to him. I think we realise that he does in some way, in his own way, love George and maybe some of his other paramours. We also see that he is quite a vulnerable figure. You know, there's everyone competing over him and trying to bend him to their will. And he's also the king of a country that is strategically, in some senses, weak, right? You've got the Spanish, the Catholic nations, it's the Protestant versus Catholic. There's so much eating up at him. It's no wonder that he tries to escape into hedonism effectively. But as he gets older, particularly in the final episode, I think it's rather a moving performance. I also, in smaller roles, really like Sean Gilder as Mary's new husband. Kind of weird because I last saw him at the National Theatre playing a football manager in Dear England, a very different role. And I also really liked National Theatre favourite Nicola Walker, who arguably gets all the best lines and scenes as the scabrous, independently wealthy Lady Harron. And I think it is funny that really the true rival competitor, the person who really sharpens Mary Villiers' knife, is Lady Harron. They're kind of like their own best enemies in a sense. Like the men can't quite compete with just how scheming and blunt and brutal they can be. It's really fun when they're both on screen. I guess my one criticism of the series, if you watch it as a whole, is that it does lose some of that early comedy and brutality and viciousness. You know, the way in which Succession and The Thick of It could combine political intrigue and strategy with really hilarious one-liners that are just, and a lot of comedy swearing. That does fade out, and maybe it has to, because we get to know the king better, we get to know George better, and actually, you know, you're moving into a more mature consideration of the political drama. But I did miss it, and I did feel that back sort of 3-4 episodes felt less compelling than the first 3 or 4. Nonetheless, I think this is a really strong show. I note that it's been partially directed by Oliver Hermanus, who also directed the marvellous, gentle, beautiful drama Living last year, feature film starting Bill Nighy, well worth watching. He clearly has a facility for just creating compelling emotional drama. So well worth seeking out. I really hope you enjoy Mary and George if you enjoy it. I mean, if you're a fan of things like Succession, things that are gritty and gnarly and about power and sex, and this is for you, albeit a costume drama. As always, feel free to leave a comment on the YouTube channel, on my blog at bina007.com. You can find me on social media, on Threads and X at bina007. I'd love to hear what you think of this show. I really hope it gets the audience it deserves. Thank you for listening.